Vendo Radio is on now.
Best Nintendo podcast on the English-speaking internet. My name is Holly Felmuth. I'll be your host for tonight, and I am joined by nobody. This is another solo podcast on my part, and so I hope you enjoy it. I actually would like to begin by explaining why this is a solo podcast, because there is an explanation behind it, and I'm afraid it's all my fault. Last night, which is Saturday night, Harrison and I recorded an episode. It was about an hour long. And, you know, everything went well. It was a good episode. I found out probably like a half an hour after we finished recording or so that my audio was recording through my internal microphone, my computer's internal microphone, as opposed to my nice microphone. And so the audio turned out really poorly, to put it nicely. And so I just decided that kind of to make it up to all of you listeners, I would, you know, throw together kind of an emergency podcast tonight. And so here I am. This is Infendo Radio. We're on episode 309. We're going to have our usual three-part structure. Well, I am anyway. And that includes what I've been playing, Nintendo news, and our feature, which is kind of some of my favorite Nintendo Direct moments, because I feel like we've had a lot of Nintendo Directs going on lately. And so we're going to talk about some of those. So to start with what I've been playing. What have I been playing? You know, I could give you a list of all of the different games that I have been playing. And it's a very long list. Here, I'll just throw them out there. There is The Legend of Zelda The Wind Waker HD. There is Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate. I've been playing Pokemon Battle Trose, Swords and Soldiers 3D. Bravely Default, and Advance Wars. I believe that's all. I usually try to keep at least a mental list of what I'm currently playing, and that can include, you know, 3 to 5 games. I think I might have just listed 6. I don't know. I'm trying to trim down on it a little bit. And I have cut The Legend of Zelda, The Wind Waker HD out of that, really, because I feel I've pretty much, you know, gotten all I could out of that game. Didn't beat it 100%, but I got close enough. You know, you just sometimes get all you can out of a game and it's not 100%, but you enjoyed what you played. So there, I mean, I beat the game, I restarted it with New Game Plus. I really did some serious exploring of the Great Sea. I had some figurines done. That was something I hadn't dabbled in at all in my first playthrough. So I did that a little bit. I mean, there are tons of little podiums indicating to me that there must be dozens, I would say, of these little figurines that you can get. That just seems tedious and time-consuming, I'm not gonna lie. So I dabbled in it, that's about it. I was good with that. So you could knock Wind Waker HD off of that list. It was a great game, and my second playthrough was definitely better than the first, mostly because of my own perceptions on the game, my own, you know, way of tackling the game. Last night, Harrison and I actually talked a little bit about this. I did a lot more exploring in my second playthrough, which definitely enhanced the game for me, and I don't know why, but in my first playthrough, I just thought, I'm just gonna get through this game. It'll be good, you know, and it's got some dungeons that are good. But honestly, I think the dungeons are, in Wind Waker anyway, not as strong as they could be for a Zelda game, so I wasn't even getting, you know, the bulk of that game just going through the dungeons. Some of the dungeons are very good. The Earth Temple, I believe it is, was probably my favorite. It was very good. Ganon's Tower, I absolutely loathed the first and second time, so yeah, I would avoid that one if I could, but I think exploration is really the meat of this game, especially for this game. It was a lot of fun. But I'm kind of over that one, you know, just been playing the other games that I've got. Bravely Default has kind of moved up there as that primary go-to game for me right now. And on the side, I play some Monster Hunter occasionally. I play some Pokemon Battle Troze occasionally. And Advance Wars is probably, you know, closer up to where Bravely Default is as kind of a primary game that I play. It's a lot of fun. I finally actually got through the field training stages, so I'm basically past the tutorial. I'm at the threshold of the campaign, which is exciting. I think it'll be fairly difficult, but fairly fun, you know? And as for, you know, what I've been playing, that's kind of about it. I really actually just wanted to move, you know, fairly rapidly from what I've been playing to Nintendo News. This week in Nintendo News, I will actually be talking a lot about just kind of two different main things that happened. The first of those is Nintendo's E3 plans have been revealed. So I just kind of found a little press release on the different plans that Nintendo has for E3 this year, so that's kind of exciting. The first one on that list was the Super Smash Bros. Invitational. Just as a quick explanation, this is like a Super Smash Bros. Tournament that will actually feature 16 of the most skilled Super Smash Bros. Players. You know, some of the most skilled. I'm sure they're not like the 16 most skilled Super Smash Bros. Players in the world, but you know, 16 very skilled Super Smash Bros. Players. So they'll be having a tournament against one another. And get this, they will be playing Super Smash Bros. For Wii U. Which kind of begs the question, are they going to get a little bit of time, like, in advance to practice it and get good at it? I mean, obviously, the mechanics are probably going to be fairly similar to previous Super Smash Bros. Games, and so I honestly don't think there is a lot of reason to worry too much, but at the same time, you know, it'll be a little different, I imagine, and so this event will actually be available as a live stream for fans. Anyone who has the internet can kind of watch this whole event on the internet, which is a very, very cool thing. I mean, I, for one, will most definitely be tuning in. That should be very interesting. And if this is the 16 players' like first go at Super Smash Bros. For Wii U, that should make it all the more interesting. So it should be good. And actually, as Harrison and I were talking about this last night, he kind of brought up the point that possibly the characters, possibly these players will be limited to just the characters that you have right at the beginning of the game. In any Super Smash Bros. Game, you start with a set roster of characters, and then through various means, you actually unlock the rest. And depending on the Super Smash Bros. Game, there are, you know, different amounts of different characters to unlock. So Harrison kind of thinks that maybe they'll be limited to just the game's initial roster, which, you know, we don't know what that is, but it probably will be consisted of, you know, mostly old and familiar characters. You know, regardless of what characters they're using, it'll be a ton of fun to watch, and I'm actually really thrilled that Nintendo is putting together an event like this that pretty much everyone can participate in, and it should be a lot of fun. If it's broadcast on Twitch, which I'd be very surprised if it wasn't, you know, being streamed on Twitch. If it is, it'll be fun to go in and, you know, chat with some other fans in the chat area, if there is one. I know that they don't always have a chat area, depending on the channel that you're watching, but I think the discussion that will come out of this will, you know, be pretty fun to participate in. But moving on, the next kind of E3 plan that Nintendo has is called the Nintendo Digital Event. Just some basic background information on this. It will air at 9 o'clock a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, June 10th. And just like last year, this is actually a replacement for a traditional press conference. It's not been labeled as a Nintendo Direct as it was last year. But still, no live press conference from Nintendo. That's basically what this is saying. I actually, even though, you know, the press conference last year, it wasn't even a press conference. The Nintendo Direct that we got last year, it was slightly awkward, slightly not that fun to watch, especially compared to a press conference. And so you kind of have this fear that, you know, we're going to have basically a repeat of last year, which was not a fan favorite, to be perfectly frank. I mean, everyone kind of, and Harrison included, we talked about this also last night, we kind of just expected Nintendo to go back to their, you know, traditional press conference, because that tends to be more exciting. I kind of talked about with Harrison that it's exciting to watch because there's an audience during the live press conference, and they're applauding, and they're, you know, really, you know, engaged, and you feel engaged because they're engaged. And so this Nintendo Direct that Nintendo did last year was actually quite hard to get engaged in. I mean, it was exciting, it had a lot of announcements, a lot of trailers, and that was great, but... And I actually also mentioned this last night with Harrison. You can't have a live orchestra on a you know, just an internet video. I don't think this is going to be streamed live. It'll probably be, you know, prepared in advance. But I don't know. I just can't imagine it being as epic as a press conference could potentially be. However... Again, this hasn't been labeled as a Nintendo Direct. It has been labeled as the Nintendo Digital Event. That, to me, it just kind of helps me to have a little bit of optimism towards this. It's not your traditional Nintendo Direct. So apparently they're going in some, you know, different direction that should hopefully be more engaging and interesting to watch. And there definitely are pros to... preparing something like this in advance, as opposed to having a live press conference. The biggest pro, obviously, to that is that they have time in advance to prepare it. And if they prepare it correctly, it could actually turn out pretty cool. So I remain optimistic, but also a little bit skeptical about Nintendo's decision, once again, to not have a live press conference. Only time will tell. And next week's episode, Harrison Lewis and I... Hopefully all three of us, or at least, you know, me, Harrison, Colin, I don't know, hopefully we'll have a bigger crew regardless. We will probably actually be discussing our E3 predictions, and so that will definitely be a show to not miss. Next in the list, though, for Nintendo's E3 plans this year is there will be like a live stream of Nintendo Treehouse at E3. So I guess, you know, Nintendo Treehouse employees will be at E3 at all hours of E3. They'll kind of have like a live stream of demos just, you know, constantly. So fans can tune into that. Unscripted demos, says the press release that I am getting all this information on. So that... it should be interesting, and I talked about this with Harrison last night. I'm just worried that all hours of E3, that is a lot of time, and I just wonder how are they going to keep fans consistently engaged during all of that time. Also, you know, people have stuff going on even during E3, and so you may... you know, get home from work and sit down and see what's going on with the Nintendo live stream. And, you know, what if you missed something good? That's what I'm really worried about. I mean, I work. I have a couple of jobs, actually. And so I'm just concerned that I might just be missing out on stuff. I might, you know, catch some good stuff, but I also might miss some good stuff. And so it's an interesting approach. And I am kind of looking forward to it, but at the same time, I do have that worry. Still, it should be, you know, it's a way to keep people coming back to these live streams for more. So, finally, there's like, I think Nintendo has dubbed this the Super Smash Fest or something like that. Super Smash Bros. For Wii U will be available at Best Buy stores to actually demo. So this will give fans just about anywhere... Their first chance to play Super Smash Bros. For Wii U. This, to me, is extremely exciting. Harrison mentioned that last year they did the same thing with Best Buy stores, but they had a lot more options than just one game. I think he mentioned that they might have had Mario Kart 8 there, Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze. I can't seem to remember anymore, but that's still kind of a really cool thing. I looked it up. The closest Best Buy to me is 3 hours away. Harrison was kind of blown away by that when we talked about it last night. But I live in a small town, even a small county, people-wise, and yeah, it's just a fact of life. The closest Best Buy to me is 3 hours away, so I may or may not make the trip. Probably not, though. It would be very fun, though, to try out Super Smash Bros. For Wii U for the first time. Those of you who are close to Best Buy, I would highly recommend taking advantage of this. It sounds really great. And that actually kind of does it for Nintendo's E3 plans this year. They sound, you know, different, but they could turn out really good. It all depends on how Nintendo handles this. I dare say I'm the most excited about the Super Smash Bros. Invitational. The Nintendo Digital Event, I mean, obviously it's going to be packed with news and announcements, and that is going to be great. But at the same time, it's like I say, I'm slightly skeptical about that, about how Nintendo is going to handle it. And so the Super Smash Bros. Invitational is arguably my most looked forward to aspect of Nintendo's E3 2014. Moving on, though, we recently actually got a Mario Kart 8 Direct. And this one just kind of, flew into fans' faces by total surprise. I mean, it just kind of appeared, I think, on Wednesday morning. Still, it was not a bad Direct at all. Usually if a Nintendo Direct just kind of hits with no warning at all, it's just going to be, a cheap little one like the Tomodachi Life one. It's, like maybe 10 or 15 minutes long, but this is, like a full-blown Nintendo Direct featuring Mario Kart 8, and it was, completely packed with announcements, which we are going to go through, starting with two new playable characters in the game, Baby Rosalina and Pink Gold Peach. I don't know if, maybe some of you are mad for me calling them new characters, because technically they're just spin-offs of old characters, which seems to be kind of a favorite thing for Nintendo to do, particularly with, a franchise like Mario Kart 8. They really want to pack those characters into that roster, but they really don't want to give you the real variety of, different characters with different personalities. Still, obviously Baby Rosalina, I think the biggest variety between racers in Mario Kart games in general is just size class, And Baby Rosalina is going to be small versus regular Rosalina, which is large size class. And so, there's a little bit of variety there. And so, additionally, I believe Peach, just regular Peach, is a medium size class. Pink Gold Peach is going to be large because obviously she's kind of, metallic and a heavier character. Size classes don't determine a whole lot, but they do determine how much you're kind of pushed around by other players. And that could actually kind of play into how anti-gravity works, because on anti-gravity sections of the tracks, you'll actually be able to run into other players to gain a little speed boost. And I believe both of the players that get hit gain a speed boost, but maybe if you're a bigger character, you get a bigger boost by running into smaller characters. Those poor little smaller characters getting pushed around. I've never actually taken the time to figure out what advantage small characters have over large characters, because I've always been a large character kind of person. I mean, I love Rosalina. She's probably my favorite to race as, and in Mario Kart 7, before I would unlock her, I would use Bowser, also a large class. So, there are those differentiations, at least, between Baby Rosalina and Pink Gold Peach. Another thing about Pink Gold Peach, though, when I first watched the video, and I actually wrote it this way in my Infindo post, I thought that it was basically Gold Peach, just plain old Gold Peach, and that's what she looks like. There's not a whole lot of pink there. So I wrote that in my Infindo post on this, oh, Gold Peach, yeah, that's great. Little do any of you realize that I was distracted while I was watching the Nintendo Direct, and I didn't realize that it was Pink Gold Peach. I found that out, and like many other people, thought that is slightly atrocious. Just slightly. Moving on to new announcements, though, we have a new item. This item will be joining the Piranha Plant and the Boomerang, I believe, as brand new items to the Mario Kart series. This item is called the Super Horn. It's a pretty, on the surface, like I mentioned in my article, on the surface, it's a pretty basic item. You use it, and players that are surrounding you spin out items that are surrounding you, banana peels and things like that, will also kind of just spin off the road, and so it's a useful item that way. But the most game-changing aspect about this item is that it actually breaks the blue shell. And when I heard this, I literally broke out in song. I broke out singing the Hallelujah chorus. I was so excited. The blue shell is pretty much the bane of my existence. possibly, you know, my whole existence, the blue shell. It is the most evil item conceived by a video game developer ever. In case you don't know, the blue shell is the one where, say, someone in 11th place gets it, they shoot it off, it just flies over everyone's head, going straight for the person in first place. That is how evil that item is. And I have literally had, yeah, dozens of races ruined by the blue shell. I despise it, to say the least. So, the super horn. It's a good revelation for sure, a very good announcement. I do have some worry that, you know, the person in first place isn't going to get super rare items like a bullet bill, for example, and the super horn does seem like a fairly powerful item, and so the likelihood of the player in first place getting a super horn seems kind of low, but I believe I've read somewhere that it will happen sometimes. So, no worries there. It might save me a race or two, and I will just be glad of that. Hopefully it adds some much-needed balance to Mario Kart, which I thought Mario Kart 7 had fairly good balance, aside from the occasional blue shell ruined race. It certainly had more balance than Mario Kart Wii, which I think probably has the least balance of any Mario Kart game that I've ever played. So, you know, anything to balance out the formula. If Mario Kart 8 is kind of like Mario Kart 7, but even more balanced, I will just be thrilled beyond words. In addition, the Mario Kart 8 Direct revealed, kind of in detail, the online modes for Mario Kart 8. The first one is worldwide. You can play with, you know, anyone in the world, so that's pretty self-explanatory. Regional mode allows you to play with just people in your region, as in, you know, the United States, Europe, you know, wherever you are. So, that's nice if you just want to stick with people with English names or whatever. The next mode is friends only, so they just kind of, you know, skim down until you're only playing with friends. And in friends only mode, you will actually be able to have voice chat, but I believe this is confined only to the lobby in between races. So just keep that in mind. There is voice chat. I know some people were really hoping for voice chat in Mario Kart 8. Maybe I was distracted once again during this part, but yeah, I don't think they mentioned anything about voice chat during races. So you might just have to make do with having voice chat in between races. That's fine with me. I would have been happy without voice chat, to be perfectly honest. The final mode that the Direct talks about is tournament mode. Now this is kind of the new mode. To me, it is kind of a replacement for communities in Mario Kart 7, which I really like. So I think tournament mode will kind of encompass the idea that was communities, but it also adds more. In tournament mode, you can set up your own tournament, and you can set up dates and times during which people can play in your tournaments. And so maybe you want to have a tournament every Saturday morning, or Saturday evening would probably be more like it. People don't like to wake up early in the weekends, but to each his own. I rather like morning time gaming. But tournament mode is sure to be very interesting. In a similar vein, talking about the online features of Mario Kart 8, players will actually be able to upload highlight reels to YouTube. Now, I've actually heard, this wasn't from Nintendo, but I think that it was from, you know, like an official preview. You can actually adjust settings to customize your highlight reels to some degree. You can have highlight reels that last a whole race. You can have highlight reels that last 60 seconds, highlight reels that last 30 seconds. You can have the camera kind of focus on a certain player or a certain, or just, you know, maybe just players who are doing something interesting at that moment. Honestly, I'm not sure how it all works, but that actually sounds very cool. In Mario Kart 7, I was always very impressed by the dynamic movement of the camera as you were watching either replays or even when you were just spectating friends online. For example, I wanted to join a friend online, but he was already in the middle of a race. I actually got to spectate his race, well, you know, him in his race, live at these really, really interesting camera angles. You know, the camera will smoothly glide along with you as you make a turn, and, you know, it'll go in front of you and show you as you jump and do a really cool trick. So it's very interesting that way, and I think highlight reels will be very cool-looking videos, and a lot of people will probably be uploading these to YouTube, which is kind of crazy. So your particular highlight reel that you like a lot might just get lost in the shuffle, but it'll be fun to share these kinds of things with Facebook friends, Twitter followers, people like that. And so it's nothing but a good thing to me, and I think it'll be fun for me to show some videos to my family members and friends on Facebook. It's also maybe a small little way for Nintendo to advertise, actually. I mean, if people are sharing these videos with their friends and family, maybe those friends and family will think, like, oh man, that looks fun. Which it does look fun. Mario Kart 8 is looking great. And, you know, it could get people to take the plunge, buy a Wii U, maybe even if they have to, and buy Mario Kart 8, which is going to be a blast, I think. Also, some very excellent news came out of this Nintendo Direct relating to Club Nintendo. People who register their game via Club Nintendo between its release on May 30th and July 30th, I believe, so you have 60 days there, to register your game before this promotion ends. The promotion is register your game, get another game free. There are four different games that you can get through this promotion for free as long as you register Mario Kart 8. The games are The Legend of Zelda, The Wind Waker HD, Pikmin 3, New Super Mario Bros. U, and Wii Party U. So these aren't just, you know, cheap downloadable games. I would have been happy with, like, NES Remix 2 maybe for free. Neither of which I have, but these, you know, these four games are like real meaty retail games that will probably actually take a lot of your memory, but if you have, you know, a hard drive or if you're not too worried about using up all your internal memory, then this is a fantastic deal. Get a free game just for getting Mario Kart 8, which is going to be fantastic on its own. Talking about this with Harrison last night, it wasn't a super exciting promotion for him because he owns 3 out of 4 of those games. The only one he doesn't own is Wii Party U. I'm actually the exact same way, but I'm actually excited to be able to get Wii Party U for free. I think he will be getting Wii Party U for free as well, but he's not quite as excited as me because, yeah, it's just one of those games that hardcore gamers like ourselves feel like we could skip out on and not be missing out on too much. But my little sister, at least, is very excited for me to get this one because we really need a proper party game to be able to play with one another. She doesn't like a lot of the games that I play. We'll play Dr. Luigi. That's about it. Together, anyway. Also, a bundle, a Mario Kart 8 bundle, Wii U bundle, is actually headed our way. The bundle will cost actually $329.99, which is pretty steep because Wii U Deluxe bundles, the price was dropped from $350 to $300 basically. So there's not a whole lot different with this particular bundle, and yet it's $30 more expensive than your typical Wii U bundle. I don't really get that. But the bundle comes with, you know, a Wii U Deluxe, what you would expect, a copy of Mario Kart 8, a special Mario-themed Wii remote, and a red Wii Wheel, which I'm not sure if red Wii Wheels existed before this, so that's pretty neat. I'm not even sure it comes with a nunchuck, though. So again, that $30 increase in price is a big mystery to me. I think maybe it has something to do with the fact that the copy of Mario Kart 8 that you're getting is going to be a physical copy as opposed to a, you know, like, downloaded copy into your Wii U, you know, in the style of the Wind Waker HD bundle. But it's just kind of a big mystery. And that actually concludes our Nintendo news for this week's episode. Moving on, our feature, well, my feature, I guess, is talking about my favorite Nintendo Direct moments. And before I do this, I do feel like I owe it to Harrison to at least mention some of the things that he mentioned. The first thing that actually came to his mind was a really early Nintendo Direct, in which at the beginning, and honestly I don't remember this at all, but in the beginning, Iwata is standing there with like a bunch of bananas, and he's just staring at them for, you know, at least a few seconds. I don't know why, but I just don't remember that. And in relation, we kind of talked about an Animal Crossing New Leaf Direct that there was. Oh, it wasn't focused on that game, but kind of the beginning was. And so at the beginning of the Nintendo Direct, you had Bill Trinan, like, chopping apples out of a tree and collecting apples, you know, Animal Crossing style. And so Those are just a couple of examples of how, you know, quirky and kind of strange Nintendo Directs can be sometimes. And aside from those two examples, there are plenty more examples of weird and quirky moments, some of which I think are, you know, genuinely funny or genuinely charming, some of which are just plain old awkward and just don't work for me. But as I think about some of my favorite Nintendo Direct moments, one comes to mind every time. I don't know why it wasn't, the whole Direct itself wasn't particularly good. I mean, it was interesting and it was nice to watch and everything like that, but it wasn't, you know, my favorite Nintendo Direct ever. However, it did have a very good moment. It was the Wii Fit U Direct. So some of these Directs actually focus on just like one game for the entire broadcast. And this was one of those, the Wii Fit U Direct. At the beginning, the Wii Fit trainer, the female one, is using her serene voice to narrate the steps of how to do this gesture. And it's the gesture that Iwata always uses when he opens up a Nintendo Direct. He'll say, we're bringing, you know, news direct to you. And he does this gesture as he says direct to you, where he just, you know, kind of like puts both hands out and bows. And that's kind of, you know, a staple of Nintendo Directs. So this actually, to me, was kind of a quirky moment where they had the Wii Fit trainer teaching you, almost as if she's teaching you how to do a yoga pose, how to do this Nintendo Direct gesture. So that, to me, was very quirky and interesting. It was also kind of a way to introduce to players kind of the new look. They had come up with a new look for the Wii Fit trainer, and that was, you know, our first look at that. She was a little bit more realistic, maybe, proportionally. Also, her mouth moved, and I think those were kind of the two big changes. It was nice. But, you know, it was actually a well-done introduction, to me anyway. We actually haven't talked about the Tomodachi Life Direct on Infendo Radio yet. And talking about that Direct, I mean, it was only 11 minutes long or so, but the entire thing was just chock full of quirky, silly moments, because that's exactly what the game is. Harrison hadn't actually seen this, and I recommended that he watch it for sure. But there is one definitely memorable moment where I think Iwata, Bill Trinan, Eiji Aonuma, Shigeru Miyamoto, the Reginator, those are probably about it. They're singing a rock song, and as they're, you know, kind of singing in the background, the video is also showing, you know, other scenes from the game. And one of those scenes is like a big old group of Miis just circling a Virtual Boy, kind of chanting "All hail the Virtual Boy" in these weird little robotic voices, which is how Miis in Tomodachi Life are going to sound. So that was just one of the many, many memorable moments in the Tomodachi Life Direct. The entire thing in and of itself is definitely a shining moment as far as quirky Nintendo Directs go, and I think that they did actually a very good job with that particular Nintendo Direct. In the most recent Nintendo Direct, for Mario Kart 8, actually, Nintendo again kind of had a departure from the usual Nintendo Direct format and had just segments. It was almost like they were switching between segments, almost as if you would switch between different TV shows. And they even had, you know, like someone's hand would go up and have a TV remote in their hand, and they would hit a button and it would, you know, like transfer from one, talking about one aspect of the game to talking about the next in kind of a TV type way. You have like the item shopping channel or something. I wish I could remember some of these. But one of the segments featured new items, including, of course, the Super Horn. And so other sections in that, I guess I could talk about my particular favorite. It was Mario Kart Music or something. I don't remember what the segment was called again. But they actually showed some of the soundtrack for Mario Kart 8 being recorded, because most of that soundtrack, I believe, is going to be recorded live, which is really, really neat. And one of my favorite things in the world is to watch musicians play great music. You know, the drummer, you see a lot of shots of the drummer in this, and sometimes he's just kind of gotten a smile on his face, like, yeah, I'm having a good time. And I love playing music, and so I love watching other people have a good time playing music, so that was actually a real treat, and definitely a highlight in Nintendo Directs for me. Another one that sticks out in my mind is actually from the Wonderful 101 Direct. So there was another Nintendo Direct focused on an entire game, and that was the Wonderful 101. And the Direct, from start to finish, I believe, lasted about 20 minutes. The last 7 of those minutes were dedicated to this extremely long and epic just trailer for the game. I think they called it the Wonderful 101 Director's Cut trailer. It was just fantastic. I was literally sitting at the edge of my seat by the time I was done watching this trailer. And then the Nintendo Direct ended, and I thought, wow, that's great. I was actually talking to my sister soon after, and I said, I just watched this Nintendo Direct. It had a great little trailer at the end. It seemed like a pretty long trailer, though. She asked, how long was it? I was like, maybe 2 or 3 minutes. 2 or 3 minutes. I actually looked it up, and it was 7.5 minutes or so. So that was definitely a highlight. I mean, it takes a very epic and good and interesting and engaging trailer to keep me interested for 7.5 minutes, but at the same time to make me think like, oh, that was like the best 2 or 3 minutes of my life. No, it was actually 7 minutes of my life. So that was definitely a highlight for me in Nintendo Directs in general. And, you know, there are plenty of other things that I could list. Nintendo Directs are, when you think about it, they're just very fun to watch for hardcore Nintendo fans who just like to, you know, hear about games, hear game announcements, and they get excited over those kinds of things. I think that, you know, like I was kind of mentioning before, some moments in Nintendo Directs tend to be awkward, or they just don't work. If Nintendo could kind of get past that and make Nintendo Directs even more engaging and dynamic, I think they could create hype a little bit better than they already do through Nintendo Directs. But as it is, I'm, you know, very appreciative of Nintendo occasionally releasing a Nintendo Direct to talk about their games. And you can't argue with that, really. So that brings us actually to the end of Infendo Radio, episode 309. If you want to let us know what your favorite Nintendo Direct moments are, what you've been playing recently, and why you think it's good, and why you think maybe we should be playing it, leave a comment on the post where this podcast is actually, you know, posted on the site. Alternatively, you can actually send us an email at contact@infendo.com. Just, you know, tell us what you think we should be playing. Ask us a question. Keep your questions short, though. We just really love to hear from you guys. I'm definitely one who really likes to connect with other Nintendo fans, and so I really appreciate hearing from you guys. With that, we come to the conclusion of Infendo Radio, and I hope you guys enjoyed it. It's probably going to be a fairly short one. I haven't looked at the time yet, but I'm going to have to sign off now. This has been Holly with Infendo Radio. See you guys.